Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we could be gathered together in this place. For we thank you that in the midst of all the joys that we have with one another's fellowship, with the food and the enjoyment of conversation and seeing old friends and friends that we see every week, Lord, we thank you that you are also in our midst. Lord, we come to this place to encounter your presence. We come to this place to receive, as beggars begging for bread, to receive the mercy that you would pour out upon those that are needy. Lord, we pray that you would be set before us this evening as we hear your word, that your word would speak not just to our ears, but to our hearts, Lord, that we might behold Christ in all his beauty and glory in the word that's spoken. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be here at the 80th anniversary of Mount Carmel Primitive Baptist Church. I am reminded in particular that it was exactly this meeting 13 years ago, which was the first time I'd ever been to a Primitive Baptist annual meeting, and it was the first time that I saw and met many of you. And those relationships that began then have continued over the years, and what a blessing it's been, and those that I've been able to meet since, and the remembrance of those that are no longer here with us. And it was also that year that the Southampton Primitive Baptist Church was constituted. Elder Bloyd asked me to say a few words about the church there, and the first thing that came to my mind is that church and the labor that had been going on there had been going on long before I even first visited there. And so we have been so blessed by the labors of so many of the saints of God over the years, of the ministry, and of those that have visited, those that have taken the time to come up and attend the meetings and fellowship. And this church in particular was so involved, and that's perhaps one of the things I remember the most about those meetings, is it was just such a joy to go and to be with people that loved to hear the truth, that loved to be around God's people, that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and the people that came up week after week from here, from Mount Carmel and from the areas around here. It wasn't a burden, it wasn't something grievous, it was a joy for them to come up, and we enjoyed that fellowship and have been so blessed by it over the years. Last night, Brother Justin was talking about the earnest expectation that God's people have had over the years and the generations of the promise of the coming Messiah. One passage that came to my mind was when it talks about the birth of Noah. And this is about 1,000 years after God's promise that he would send the seed of the woman to crush the serpent's head. And it says in Genesis chapter 5, beginning the 28th verse, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And the name Noah means rest or comfort. So here you see just one more example of a saint of God 1,000 years after the promise, still eagerly anticipating. Notice what he says as he talks about the birth of Noah, naming him Noah, comfort, rest. He looks back to something that took place 1,000 years before, that God had cursed the ground because of sin. That because of sin, the world was under a great curse. And he understood, as we ought to understand today, that there is something not right with the world, that things are not as they ought to be, that we are not as we ought to be because of the coming of sin into God's perfect creation. Everything that God made was glorious, was beautiful, but sin entered into the world. Sin entered in and messed it all up. And 1,000 years later, he's thinking back and he's looking back and waiting and expecting comfort, rest from the curse that God had put on the ground. And he named his son in anticipation of this. But yet, as Justin pointed out, it would be many more years, many more generations would pass, and nations would rise and they would fall, but God's plan would happen in its appointed and its perfect time. As it says in Galatians, it says, when the fullness of time was come. The verse I want to read to you tonight is from Hebrews chapter 1, the first verse and second verse. I heard once about a survey that was conducted where people were asked the primary reasons that they go to church, that they attend a church meeting. And what I heard was the most common answer that people gave was to have an encounter with God. We come here for many reasons. We come here for the fellowship, for the conversation, for the joyful singing, to have our hearts lifted up, to be able to pour out our sorrows, lay them at the feet of Jesus and receive the comfort. The most important reason to come here, to come to the house of God, is because that is where God is, that is where God dwells, to encounter Him. To encounter Him in the Word that's preached, as you have heard, and as you will hear, God's word preached. God is alive. God is active. And God is speaking in that word. God is not silent. God is a God that speaks. God is a God that can be encountered because He communicates. And this passage here in Hebrews is about God communicating. And the greatest communication of all that ever took place, that God spoke, is spoken about here. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You can think back. You can think of the Bible stories, the Old Testament stories that you're familiar with, that you know of. How many ways did God make Himself known? Did God reveal Himself? Reveal the kind of character that He has, His desire, His will, His purpose. How many ways he sometimes revealed Himself in dreams. Sometimes He sent fire down from heaven. He performed miraculous works. He divided the Red Sea. He caused bread to come down from heaven. He sent prophets. And He gave these prophets strange visions, sometimes strange things to do. Some of the prophets were told to do things like lay on your side for this many months and set things up to be a testimony about this or that, to reveal something. And God spoke in many different ways. God is a God who is able to make Himself known, who is able to make Himself heard. But this God who has, at different times, in different ways, spoken in time past, He says, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. By His Son. Jesus Christ comes into the world. He's called the Word of God. And He's the Word of God who was made flesh and tabernacled among us, as it was said before. The very presence of God, the very communication of God. And God is still, through Christ, continuing to speak, continuing to make Himself known. So I hope, I desire that you have heard and that you will hear. As you hear His word spoken, that it would not be as the words of men. That's what it says about the coming of the gospel. When it was received, it was not received as the words of men, but the words of God. Because the men that stand up here and preach, they don't preach their own word, right? They preach God's word. They preach God's word, and God is still speaking. God is still communicating. And let me just close my words with this. Later on in Hebrews, Hebrews would quote from the Psalms, where I believe it's David that's writing about the communication of God, the word of God being spoken. He says this. He says, "Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Today, tonight, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Thank you for your attention.